You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
We'll be back. The second hour has arrived, and as everyone knows, National Signing Day. Next Wednesday, you have the transfer portal open. Coaches don't like it. Max Olson from The Athletic covers that and much else in the college sports platform. Matt, thank you. Thank you very much. Max, thank you for being here. So tell us about how these two worlds are colliding and the chaos that has ensued. Thank you for being here, Max.
Yeah, always a pleasure, Paul. You know, I think the next 7 days are going to be pretty intense for recruiting departments across the SEC and across the country here. You're trying to close on your class you've been recruiting for a couple of years. But, you know, certainly the way the transfer portal cycle really plays out, once that door opens officially on December 4th, it really is, with that dead period coming up, it's really a two-week scramble to get these guys offered and on campus for visits and committed as quickly as possible. So this upcoming weekend here, in terms of official visits, you're just going to see a ton of commitments from top players in the portal, I think, on Sunday and Monday after taking their last trips. And, you know, they go in and they get that thing wrapped up pretty quickly here. And I think we're already starting to see some teams emerge as contenders for Portal King in the cycle.
Well, you got my attention. Let's talk about that. Where is the action and activity right now? Who's doing well?
You know, I think if I were an Ole Miss fan, I'd be pretty fired up right now. I think Lane Kiffin and his staff are doing a great job. They just picked up a commitment from Key Lawrence, the safety from Oklahoma today. They're in the mix for some of the best guys in the portal. I think they're looking good for Princely Umanmielen from Florida, the edge rusher. They're bringing Walter Nolan, the pretty much consensus number one player in the transfer portal from Texas A&M. They're getting him in for a visit. You know, Juice Wells, Tyler Barron, they're in the mix here for some real, you know, proven SEC talent. And I think that's a testament to what they've done over the past few years. I think, you know, the fact that, you know, you're not going to bat 1,000 on transfer takes, but Lane's had a lot, and they've had a lot of success, obviously, with players in the portal. And I think that stands out when you get guys in the starting lineup, you get them drafted and stuff. I think it helps a lot. So I think we're seeing a big push from Ole Miss right now. Certainly Oregon and Texas, there's a few other schools that when the big names go in, you see them visiting those schools. So there's some big time battles ahead, I think, for those schools. I really like what I've seen too from South Carolina, Kentucky, and Oklahoma early on.
So in terms of the portal, I mean, a lot of the time, you know, we have some really good players in there. I talked to a young man today who went in the portal, never got out. I mean, there are those stories, as you know, but how does the portal activity right now clash with National Signing Day Wednesday?
You know, I think it's what this has become over the last couple of years. It's definitely tough for the high school recruit. You know, I think once we hit December, these staffs are completely focused on the portal. And as much as coaches are still out on the road doing in-home visits and stuff like that, you know, certainly I think if you're a recruit, you need to lock down a commitment. Unless you're one of the best in the country, you really need to lock down a commitment going into December and sign and not cause any drama, because these coaches are really focused on transfers. And, you know, I think that what we've seen, especially as the rules have changed a little bit in terms of how you can construct your roster, you know, the bottom line is we're just seeing more and more programs that would prefer to sign, you know, 15 to 20 high schoolers instead of 25 to 30, because they're going to save room for the portal. And I think coaches just kind of understand now, it's not just the fact that there's really good players in the portal every year, but, you know, I think, you know, when you lose players to the transfer portal, it's just tough to replace them with high schoolers in your lineup, and it's going to be good. I had that conversation with Mike Gundy this spring, who said, you know, when you lose players like they did the portal last year, if you replace them with freshmen, he said, you're going to suck for 2 years. So, you know, I think you have to go out there and be aggressive in terms of replacing what you lose. And that's usually to the detriment of the opportunities for high school recruits.
Chatting with Max Olson from The Athletic. Max, I realize I could go down a bunch of names, but there's one in particular I'm interested in because there's some big names that seem to be on the way out. But you contrast that with what is supposedly a career-saving recruiting class. I think you know where I'm going, Gainesville, Florida, and Billy Napier. What's happening down there?
Yeah, you know, I think it's I think Florida has put together a good class, but certainly, especially in the state of Florida, like up until those NLIs are in on Wednesday morning, you are sweating down to the very last minute. I think they've done a good job there. You know, certainly, I think you've got the quarterback of the future there in DJ Lagway out of the state of Texas, and can you hang on to him and you know, the blue chip guys in that class? I think that's really important for you're right. I mean, everyone understands the pressure that staff's under, and if you look at the schedule for 24, you've got to find some guys in the portal and in high school who can contribute right away next season.
And I keep hearing numbers connected to that in terms of what they lost. Do you have any gauge on the damage they've already suffered from defections?
From the transfer portal?
Yeah, from Florida to the portal.
Yeah, Florida has lost 15 scholarship players to the portal so far. One of their good wide receivers, Caleb Douglas, just committed to Texas Tech yesterday. You know, obviously, Trevor Etienne is kind of the headliner there, and I think a lot of people are expecting that he's going to end up at Georgia. And if that's the move for him, you know, that'd be a tremendous move, obviously, for Georgia. Kind of feel like that's one of those missing pieces for that team. This year, if you had a guy like Trevor Etienne, maybe, you know, you do win the SEC and reach the playoff. But, you know, I think that's the big one. Him, Princely, Uman Mielen, I think those guys go in the portal and are viewed as pretty pretty premium guys to everybody else in the country.
Max, let's go ahead a year when we have the 12-team playoff and, you know, things change. But how difficult will this month be with playoff games starting in a couple of days, plus everything else that we have been talking about here?
Oh, it's a great question, Paul. It's going to be brutal. And I think it's going to force the leaders in the sport, if they're actually thinking ahead, which usually they're not, obviously. But if you actually think ahead about the collision of all these things next year, I mean, even just like the collision of the next year's playoff with the coaching carousel, I think is going to be a problem. But then you factor in the portal, And you factor in December signing period. Like, I think when you get into this 12-team playoff system, it's probably time to think very seriously about, should there just be like a summer or an August signing period, you know, end of July signing period for these high school recruits where they can get this stuff out of the way, or if not, wait until February. Because I think the way that this is in, you know, kind of tangled up with the portal recruiting period in December. And I know they want to shorten those windows, but it really does dominate December. You know, I think you got to figure out some way to solve this, because, you know, I think the thing we saw yesterday with Malik Murphy, the backup quarterback at Texas, announcing he's going to enter the transfer portal, and that means he can't be with Texas for the playoff run. I don't think anybody wants to see that. I don't think that's a good outcome for anybody. I mean, I know you can look at it on one side and say, okay, yeah, he's preventing injury, and he's going to enroll at his next school at their preferred time and stuff like that. But, you know, this is a team that's trying to win a national championship. I don't think it's right that those guys should have to step away before a semifinal, and certainly next year be even earlier, step away for an opportunity when that guy might, you know, he's one snap away from playing in a big-time game here. So I think these kinds of things are a hint that's going to be a problem next year.
Max, you mentioned Texas, and certainly they got the biggest prize a year ago in Arch Manning. What is your read that he is comfortable regardless of where he sits in the pecking order with Ewers perhaps coming back?
Yeah, haven't heard any indication that Arch Manning and his camp are looking to make a move at this time. You know, I think that there was some understanding when he committed to Texas. Look, it's easy for fans and media and stuff to kind of paint this timeline of, here's how it's going to go. Quinn Ewers is going to have an incredible year. in 23 and go pro and be a first rounder, and then Arch Manning takes over. And that's just not, that's not always how it goes. And as the case, as it was this year, I mean, you have an injury for Quinn Ewers that he misses a couple games. And Malik Murphy was the more experienced guy. They won those games to survive and stay in the playoff hunt. I don't think there's a ton of dissatisfaction. I think Texas has been very careful about, you know, they weren't, they were preserving the red shirt this season and really saving Arch Manning to late in the year. And it seems like, you know, the expectation was always that Malik Murphy would go in the portal if Quinn came back, and that Arch would, you know, take a year next year as the backup and continue to develop and then be the guy in 25. Look, it's Arch Manning. I'm sure people have tried to contact him and his dad and his family and tried to persuade them to leave. But by all accounts, it seems like he's satisfied in Austin.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear somebody is satisfied in college football. Max, great to have you on. Really a fun conversation about a serious subject. We appreciate it. We head to the break right now. We still have a lot more to do. We'll go out west. We'll talk to the coach a little bit later on and your phone calls.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
We are back, and let's check in with Wallace, who is up next. Good afternoon. Hey, Wallace.
Hello, Paul. It has been a long time since you and I have talked.
Oh, my God. I recognize this voice. Sounds like a publisher.
Well, I have been listening to the NIL and all the debate, and I called in because I have to take issue with Bob from New York City.
Okay.
Because there is a whole different perspective of this that people are missing, especially type what Bob said. Some of these laws and some of these new rules and regulations are actually bringing the student athletes in line with the rest of the students at the universities. Case in point, you know me, I was in college a long time ago during the Vietnam War, and I had an Air Force scholarship. It paid for all my books, fees, tuitions, covered all my college costs, and it paid me $100 a month. And that was a lot of money back then, and that helped us along. So when they say that there's things that the colleges can do to pay some of these students besides the scholarship or the grant and aid they get for the schools, again, there's students all over that are doing that on campus, but the student athletes are prohibited from it. And one more case I'll add, I had a really good friend who was in geology. Now, this was during one of the many oil booms we had. When I was there at college, he had already been signed to a contract by Shell Oil, who was paying all of his costs and everything and giving him some money every month. I never asked how much, but he had a lot better car than I did. And by the way, my Air Force $100 a month did pay for my car payment, so I was able to get a car out of it. But my assessment of this is that the student athletes, and I'm not talking about your Jalen Milroe, Trevor Daniel, I'm talking about your linemen, your walk-ons, those guys. They are now able, if this goes through and if things happen, to be able on the same level of many of the other students that they walk the campus with every day.
Now, that's a really, really interesting point, Wallace. And it is a different world, though. I guess you've noticed that, haven't you?
Yeah. I mean, things are different now than when I was there. You also know I had a son that played intercollegiate athletics.
Sure. I remember him well. How was he doing, by the way?
This NIL thing, he happened to be featured on one of the EA Sports college games. It was his number. It was his likeness, everything about him in the game for his position. But he never got a dime out of it. But the university got licensing rights, and of course EA made a lot of money off of that.
And it was because of your son. I remember your son very well.
I'll tell him you said so.
No,
I'll
was,
tell him you said
yeah, your son worked with us in radio. I remember him very well.
Thank you, Paul.
Wallace,
but God bless you.
It has been way too long. Wallace, this is Wallace Sears, if I could out you. Wallace
sure.
Published one of my many projects many, many years ago, but you did a book of my articles. But my favorite, Wallace, and this thing should have been a bestseller, you did a Feinbaum show calendar.
That's right.
And
do you remember the cover of the calendar?
Was it the Miss Somebody, wasn't it?
No, it was Auburn and Alabama.
Oh yeah, and Big Al and I want you to go through this for a second, because this calendar should have made you $1 million. I don't think it did, but the you did a different month with a sporting. So I can remember you had Big Al and Aubie. You had me at Talladega one day in a NASCAR.
Right. We got you a uniform which you fit into from the drivers, and we had you in a real car.
Now, I don't know why I remember this young lady you had me in a boat with.
Well, that was the 4th of July. She had a red, white, and blue interesting swimsuit on.
Yeah, especially when we were on a boat, and I had to change into whatever you had me, and she was waiting to change, too, and it was rather awkward.
Well, I'll add this. If everybody wants to know what a great sport Paul was, if you remember, we did another shot in April at the Barons Stadium, and you had a Barons uniform that you put on.
It was,
and I had you put.
What did you do?
I had you put about 3 packs of bubble gum in your mouth so that you'd have the wad like major league guys do, sticking out of their cheek, and it almost made you sick, but you still did it, and we got a great picture from it.
Yeah, and I'll never forget. Of all the shots that we did, my wife went with me to Legion Field to do the Aubie and the Big Al. But the only event that Pat Smith went with me to, you remember which one it was?
Yeah, it was the girl on the boat.
It was the Miss whatever she was, wearing a rather scantily clad bathing suit. 2-piece, I remember.
For July. The month of July, that's right.
Pat suddenly.
But yeah, you're right. That was the only one Pat wanted to come with.
Pat suddenly wanted. He was as most of you know, he's been a guest here many times. That was the only one he had time for.
You're a good guy, Paul.
He assigned himself as her wardrobe specialist. So he would.
That's
he would
right.
Hand
he
her
did,
the
and he escorted
when she
her.
Went in to change.
He escorted her around to where we were with the docks and the boat and everything.
I mean, at one point I said, Pat, the camera's over here. I mean, it's not like in another part of the lake. But anyway, it was, we're kidding, Pat, because I know you and Pat did some projects together as well.
Thank you, Paul.
Well, Wallace, I hope to see you one of these days. It's been too long. Thank you very much. Wallace Sears, what a great friend from yesteryear. Davis in Wisconsin. Hello, Davis.
Mox, 3.5 stars. G-Splash D, Father, my grandson and I are going to Bart Starrtown tomorrow to see 2 of your previous guests, AJ Styles and the High Chief Roman Reigns.
Oh, my goodness.
But since I'm in town, is the Alabama-Wisco game going to be at Lambeau Field? And more importantly, is SC Nation going to be there?
I believe it's going to be in Madison. Didn't Alabama play at Lambeau a couple of years ago?
That was LSU.
Oh, okay. I knew somebody did.
Yeah.
I believe
but,
this game.
Can I borrow that line?
Can I
borrow
Madison,
that line?
I'm not sure.
Can I borrow that line from you? The greatest thing since Moses parted the Red Sea?
Yes, please feel free to.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Love you, and you have a happy Hanukkah.
Thank you. Thank you very, very much. Mark in Virginia. Hello, Mark.
Hey, Paul, how are you today?
We are doing great. Thank you.
First-time caller, long-time listener. Saw you earlier this year in Nashville and in Knoxville when you were there for the Georgia game. Got a question and a couple comments. The question is, I know back in 94 when the SEC went to two divisions, a lot of people thought that the SEC was going to hurt itself by having a playoff game. Nobody really wanted it. And you saw how that ended up. That's why college football is what it is today. But these schedules are they're just a gauntlet. Do you think that this will hurt the SEC possibly? I know we're going to a 12-team playoff. It's not like it was back in 94. But
I don't, Mark, I don't think so, but I do think it raises, I think it forces a very difficult question that I thought was going to be decided easily, and I'm not sure it will anymore. And remember going back 6 or 7 months, we were all disappointed at media at spring meetings when the SEC stayed at 8 games. I think that the decision looks very judicious now by the commissioner, because 9 games, you add, just roll the dice on adding one more to the gauntlet, and there's a pretty good chance that that extra game is going to be very difficult. So I don't know where that is. I know some coaches who were in favor of 9 now are backing away, but I think a lot of people owe Commissioner Sankey an apology, because there were members of the media who just raged after we as we were leaving Destin. And I remember Greg Sankey came on our show and said, listen, this is, we're making a major transition, and we need to swim through it slowly. And I thought for sure we would go to 9. I think right now it's a legitimate question on whether we will or not, because the league, by adding two juggernauts, has gotten very difficult. It was already difficult. It's gotten a lot more difficult. We will take a break. More to come. We'll head out west in a minute, and we're back after that.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome you back. It's been a while since we've talked to John Wilner, our good friend out on the West Coast, who writes the Pac-2 hotline. John, good afternoon, and thank you. I didn't mean to make fun of your conference, but it's after such a great year. How are things going?
Pretty busy. I mean, December's like pretty much become the busiest month in college football with the games, recruiting, coaching changes, transfer portal, NCAA, legal losses, right? I mean, it's as busy as it's ever been.
Well, let's start with what's on the field, and then we'll work our way through the vagaries of the Pac-12. An amazing year. Nobody really expected it as the league was imploding. So give us some insight into Washington and your view of how they fare as they get ready to play Texas and who knows who else.
They're a little bit of an interesting story because if you look back at September, right, they had their offense was as good as anybody's in the country. They went to Michigan State, and I think they had, it was a 42-0, 35-0 at halftime. And then they went through this kind of this mid-season lull. They managed to beat Oregon in what was one of the best games of the season. They had a little bit of a lull, and I think that was a combination of, just maybe losing a little distracted, but also some injuries, some illnesses. And then they played November, and they ended up playing, one ranked team after another, and they won every game, and most of them were very close, right? Washington went, I think, 7-0 in games that were decided by a touchdown or less. And the reason was because their defense really evolved to the point where it would, bend but not break and was able to get off the field on a lot of crucial third downs. And I think that, looking ahead to the Sugar Bowl, a lot of this is going to be on Washington's defense, right? They can't let Texas just chew the clock up and keep Michael Penix off the field. Washington's defense is going to have to get some third down stops, maybe create a few turnovers in order to, let the offense kind of do its thing.
Talking to John Wilner. John, one final thought on the actual field. Very impressed by Dan Lanning, but I haven't seen as many of his games as you. His name is going to be linked to every major opening in the future down in this part of the country. And I'm just curious your observations of a couple of years of watching him coach at Oregon.
Yeah, I mean, I think he is a very good, very, very good young coach. And that's the important piece. He's young, and he's only been a head coach for 2 years. Oregon fans are a little frustrated because he's 0-3 against Washington, their primary rival, and doing very well against everybody else. So that's a little bit of a frustration. But, he certainly has the complete package, it seems, in terms of being able to deal with kids in this modern era of college football and what you need to do as a head coach to connect with your players. They've got a nice recruiting machine going in Oregon. And as much as his name is going to be connected to other jobs, I got to tell you, Paul, I think he's got everything he needs. He's got the contract he needs. He's got the NIL support he needs from Oregon. And he's certainly got, now they're in the Big Ten. So to me, there's a list of schools that he would leave Oregon for, and it's very, very short. And it probably is Alabama and Georgia. And I'm not sure that there's many others that could lure him away, at least at this point.
John, I don't want to preface a question by saying, have you ever seen anything quite like it? But I have to.
Feel free.
In connection to USC and Lincoln Riley, have you ever seen anything quite like this year?
Oh, man. It was not – I mean, their defense was not any worse than it was last year, in my opinion. The difference was last year they had this incredible turnover margin. So they got real lucky. And in 2023, their turnover margin kind of reverted to the mean. And so they were left with relying on Caleb Williams, a phenomenal player, to offset a terrible defense. Now, he's certainly got, he changed coordinators. I think Danton Lynn from UCLA is going to be a big upgrade. And he has hired Matt Entz, the North Dakota State coach, to be the assistant head coach for defense. So it seems like Riley gets it and knows what he needs to do. I wasn't sure if he was going to basically concede that he needed to change his philosophy and focus on defense. But these two hires indicate he's kind of learned his lesson. And I think, you know, with the transfer portal, USC is capable of bringing in guys immediately to help them next year in the Big Ten. And they're going to need to upgrade their defense in the Big Ten. But USC fans are very frustrated because they feel like they had a once-in-a-generation talent at quarterback for 2 years, and they never won the Pac-12 championship.
John, what happens to the Pac-12?
For the Pac-2?
Well, yeah, I'm not quite used to saying that, but
I know, me neither. Well, my best guess, Paul, is that the Washington State and Oregon State are going to compete as a two-team conference for the next two seasons, right? And that's allowed under NCAA rules. And then starting with the fall of 2026, there will be some kind of merger with either all of the Mountain West or the top, say, six or seven teams in the Mountain West. And I think that there's a chance that they will play. The name Pac-12 will continue because the intellectual property value of the Pac-12 is greater than the intellectual property value of the Mountain West. And so if you look out the second half of the decade and you've got a football conference with Washington State, Oregon State, and then you got Boise, Fresno, San Diego, maybe Colorado State, you know, it's not a terrible football conference. It's probably closer to what the Big 12 is going to be than what the Big 12 will be to the SEC or Big 10. But, you know, it's going to be part of this whole bifurcation of the sport, right, where two conferences completely dominate every aspect of the sport, including the playoff bids and the TV windows and all the revenue. You know, the ACC, the Big 12, and whatever is kind of reconfigured out west, it's all going to be second tier to the Big 2.
We haven't talked to you since the ACC took in Stanford in California. What was your thought on that, and what did those two do for, along with SMU, of course, for the ACC?
Yeah, they're going to certainly cause a whole lot of travel for a lot of teams. You know, I think one thing they do, well, the combination certainly does a lot for the ACC network, right? I think ESPN was looking at the Dallas market and the Bay Area market, thinking, you know what, there's a way to get some more homes for ESPN. So that's one piece. And certainly, you know, there's a academic alignment between a lot of the ACC schools and Stanford and Cal, and the Olympic sports are very important to the ACC and they're important to Stanford and Cal. But I think a lot of it was kind of a survival mode, right? Because now the ACC has enough members so that if Florida State and Clemson leave in a couple of years, there'll still be a conference, right? Because they'll still have, you know, 14, 15 schools available for competition. And I think that's an important piece. That was what everybody else was looking at. Like, what happens in a world where there's no Florida State and Clemson? Well, we need to have strength in numbers. And I think that was kind of a big part of the ACC's decision. And for Stanford and Cal, it was, do we join the ACC or do we try to reconfigure the Pac-12 with Washington State and Oregon State? And, you know, I think they decided that the ACC was a better opportunity for them, even though it obviously is going to put a huge burden on a lot of their athletes with the travel.
In relation to especially FSU, since they have been in the news for a week and a half, what do you see happening to them? Because they made a lot of noise, but they've also haven't made a lot of friends either by being what they have been lately.
Well, I think that what happened in the playoff has only expedited the timeline for Florida State and Clemson to leave the ACC, right? I mean, at some point, it's going to cost them, I think, Paul, it's going to cost them more to stay than it is to leave, right? Even if you say breaking that grant of rights is going to cost each of them a couple hundred million dollars, how much is staying going to cost them and not being a part of the SEC or the Big Ten and not having, you know, not only the TV revenue, but the competitive platform to be in the playoff, right? I think the 12-team playoff is the biggest change in the history of college football and is going to affect everything. And certainly it seems like the path into that playoff is going to be a lot easier if you're in the SEC or Big Ten than the ACC. And what we saw a couple weeks ago to me was just kind of a glimpse into the future of the way the whole thing is going to tilt. So to me, Florida State and Clemson need to, you know, they got to be thinking, what is the cost of staying in the ACC? That's why I think, you know, by the end of the decade that we're going to see a whole nother round of realignment.
Since you broke the original story on Southern Cal and UCLA going to the Big Ten, what is your best guess or information or combination of both on the relationship that Clemson and Florida State would have and the fit that they would have going to the Big Ten?
I don't know. To me, they fit way better in the SEC, and Virginia and North Carolina fit a lot better in the Big Ten. That's just kind of my view. I also have wondered, though, you know, if you look at it from the standpoint of the TV networks, which have such an enormous say in this whole thing, right? Fox doesn't have a presence in Florida, right? Because Florida is ACC and SEC country, and that's all ESPN. So if you're Fox and you're thinking about where's a media market with a huge population of football crazy folks, it's Florida. So I do wonder if the Big Ten eventually will, you know, with Fox's blessing, you know, try to either get Florida State or maybe Miami to kind of carve out a presence in Florida. It's really the last. Fox has got the upper Midwest, right? All the huge population areas. They got New York City. Now they've got the West Coast, the kind of the one place, and they've got Texas through their Big 12 relationship. But the one place Fox does not have is Florida, if you're looking at population centers. So that's why I wonder if somehow one of those teams is going to end up in the Big Ten eventually.
Very interesting. John Wilner, thanks so much, John. It's always great to catch up. Fantastic information. We'll take a short break. We are back. We'll talk about all of this on the other side.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
And we are back, and Vance is up next in Georgia. Hey, Vance.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Your guest a little while ago, forgive me for not remembering his name. He said he thought it was wrong for a player to enter the portal but not be allowed to play or be on the sidelines of a bowl game.
Right.
I could not disagree with that more. That's insane. What's he want, a ring from Texas and then leave? But two of my points have caught that. That's one. I got two more if I can be blessed with that much time.
Sure.
This NCAA has created every bit of the environment we're in right now. When you had one guest that talked in a good God, I mean, that guy has a vocabulary. I'd have to go back to school for to even try to learn. But the simplest way to explain it is this is unsustainable, period. It's not going to stay. It's not going to work. It's going to run out of gas. And the worst thing they did and could have ever done is bring the government into a decision that they could have handled long ago. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I do. I there's just not much that Charlie Baker is selling that I want to buy.
Well, I mean, they failed to do their duty, Paul. They're about as useful as the UN. But as far as Florida State goes, I've always had an axe to grind against Ohio State, and it's because of their fans. Then Jimbo Fisher gave me an axe to grind against Texas A&M. And now I want Florida State to get their brains beat out because of what they're doing there. But there's one intricate thing I remember very well years ago. A man who is a head coach in college football said, I am afraid that all these decisions are going to ruin the bowl games. His name was Nick Saban, and he is 100% correct. We don't even know who's going to play in them, Paul. And that's hurtful. Who cares who plays against Florida State or against Georgia anymore?
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.